America bloomed on a dream, consolidated in the pages of the Democratic Review in 1845, when journalist John O'Sullivan wrote that it was our manifest destiny to overspread the continent allotted by Providence for the free development of our yearly multiplying millions. Prior to then, America existed in a huddle of sparsely populated states that were outgrowths of the East Coast Dutch and British settlements. Across the Appalachian Divide was limbo, and the travelers who first set out on the Oregon Trail wrote wistfully of going home to America. Within two centuries, the wilderness was taken from the Native Americans, but its settlement was mythologized in blithe imaginings wrought by the stories of Owen Wister and the paintings of Frederick Remington. In truth, there were few cowboys, fewer than 10,000 at their peak, and the pioneers who trekked west traveled not in Conestoga wagons, but on dray-like prairie schooners hauled by oxen. Fantasies are inherent in human nature, and much of the American landscape, unchanged for millennia until the Great Drive West in the 19th century, provoked heaven and hell. California, especially, inspired heaven. It was huge, its very geography offering a multitude of opportunities for exploitation. Gold had been sprinkled there by the gods. Starting in 1849, the influx began, filling the twin ramshackle metropolises of San Francisco and Los Angeles with their various dreamers. In 1800, the California population measured a few thousand. By 1853, after the gold rush was finished, the population was a quarter of a million. The entrepreneurial energies of great financiers, including Leland Stanford, Mark Hopkins, and Charles Crocker, made San Francisco the Paris of the West. Los Angeles, in competition, boomed by nurturing its reputation for blue skies and perfect balmy breezes. The Mission Spaniards, set on sanctifying paradise, persevered with Spanish orange and Portuguese lemon crops, which took hold when the early cattle kings dispersed. These Californian delicacies caught on back east and gave the environs of Los Angeles a bedrock export economy. Still, California was no easy sell. To the recent immigrants settled on the East Coast, Scots-Irish folk like Redford's maternal great-grandfather John Hart, the industrial options of the more established towns were more desirable. As the gold rush subsided and the Civil War ran its course, the fledgling Los Angeles Chamber of Commerce commissioned books like Charles Nordoff's California, which sold the southern part of the state to be as a sanitarium. California college girls are larger by most every dimension than are the college girls of Massachusetts, wrote naturalist David Starr Jordan in an act of shameless boosterism. But it was William Mulholland's extraordinary irrigation scheme at the start of the 20th century that finally put Los Angeles on the map. Greenery suddenly spread out to envelop the San Fernando Valley, and the city was repackaged as a year-round tourist destination. The succeeding tourist boom fueled helter-skelter residential growth from Santa Monica to Van Nuys and ultimately nourished the invention of a dream factory called Hollywood. Robert Redford was a first-generation Californian, born in Los Angeles as the citrus era ebbed and Hollywood hit flood tide. In the mid-1930s, realities clashed as the Dust Bowl casualties came west, only to be stopped at the gates of the city by local police patrols while Angelinos hosted Greta Garbo and Gary Cooper. The Redfords were within the city limits, but poor. Neighborhood friends hanged themselves in the Depression. Still, proximity to dream weaving and the perfect climate provided powerful distraction.